Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
I never was captain of the football team. You ain't never been a prom queen. We're just us, and that's okay. If I got you, well, it's a good day.
Doug Steffen with Jennifer Horn, Rich McFadden at the controls in our studio in Washington, Kenny Kessler monitoring social media. Help yourself to access with us as we talk about the issues of the day. How many people are concerned, interested, or maybe if I get to the bottom line, even care that Obama met with Mr. Putin? He's got a plan to get rid of ISIS at the expense of the United States and many of the countries that are free in the Middle East. Is it worth it? That could be the question. Is it worth it? Why isn't everybody else doing? Why do the Russians have to get involved? They have no real stake.
Because they want control in the Middle East. They have relationships with Assad. They have relationships with Iran. They would like to have Iraq. Yeah. So this is a good way for them to get insert themselves in the politics here. But look, they've taken on groups like ISIS before. They know what they're doing. So why not? You know.
Yeah, they took on the Taliban. How'd that work out for him?
Well, you know. But they're ticked. I thought it was interesting that he called us out. Putin called us out on the carpet at the UN saying, look, you're arming people and all of your weapons going straight to straight to ISIS, straight to the terrorists.
How do you argue with that? You
know? He's right. Yeah. I mean, gosh, I told you earlier on today that it's, you know, I hate to say I agree with Putin, but
don't hate anything.
I don't agree with Putin.
Hate's a horrible word. Please don't use it.
I don't like that I agree with
him. All right, let's find something good here. The NASA Mars Orbiter. Revelation. The instruments show strong evidence that H2O trickles down the slopes of Martian mountains. And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, could suggest the presence of microscopic gas. Not the kind, you know, that kind. It's the other kind of gas.
Yeah, you don't like that.
Comes from, well, by the way, gas that you, any kind of gas, whether it's yours.
Gosh, where is this going to go?
Whether it's the stuff that comes out of the ground. Yep. It's all created by the digestive process.
And Taco Bell burritos.
Whatever. The microscopic organisms that work in amongst all of the fossil material that has been degraded, digested, and created oil, that's how it happens. What do you think? It just happens? No. Microscopic life, it's a really fascinating thing to deal with this or to dig around in this. Much more fascinating than many other. It depends, I guess, on your interest. I'm fascinated. Maybe that's why I'll spend 60 seconds telling you how this all works. You've heard me talk about cows and their digestive process, and when they poop, what comes out in the poop are all these microbes that get into the soil and really enhance the value of the soil. Well, the same thing happens in the world of microscopic life. Amoebas. Didn't you study all this stuff when you were in school? Botany, biology, chemistry, all the things that come. The biology of this equals the chemistry of this. So microscopic life up there comes from, and then, well, it creates gases, and gases create water, fluids, because that's really what water is two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen. It becomes liquid. If you take out one of the hydrogen molecules, it becomes a solid. So that's how it works. You put another hydrogen oxygen. That's how you move liquid to solid and back to liquid again. So in the process of looking at what's going on Mars, they're finding the point I'm making here, all of these chemical reactions that have to lead to life. Now, the question comes, do you want to go there and live? I don't think I want to go there and live. But if there's no choice, if we continue to do what we're doing here on this planet, we will destroy. I was talking to somebody last night. I have a coach who is studying this sort of thing and what we're doing to ourselves on this planet. What we have, and he maintains that we all are doing what we're doing because we're not paying attention to other people's language. You think that's true?
What
do you really, when you have a disagreement with somebody, do you really listen to what he or she says about what his point of view is?
Sometimes too intently, actually.
Really? That's you?
Well, think about it, though. When you hear things and you misinterpret them, it's maybe because you're listening too hard. You're trying to read too much into what people are saying.
All right. Let's take Putin and Obama.
Okay.
Let's take that as an example. All right. Let's back up a little bit and talk about these two and whether they're talking to each other or at each other.
Oh, no. At each other.
They're talking at each other.
For sure.
And as a result of that, nothing really gets fixed. So the animosity continues to grow. And we can start with that and go down, or you can start with you and go up. Do you listen to other people who have different points of view than you do when they talk with you to try to explain their point of view? Maybe they're trying to convince you that they're right, whatever it is. Do you really listen to people talking about Planned Parenthood and the real issue? Are they talking to you? Are you talking to them? Or are they talking at you? Think about any number of issues in your life. The fact, you look at the Republicans and Democrats, they're not talking to each other, they're talking at each other. Businesses that compete sometimes, instead of working together to make their product better, they're only interested in their own turf. So they talk to each other, I'm sorry, they talk at each other rather than to each other. This happens oftentimes, whether it's a single one-on-one or whether it is a larger scale discussion that gets up to the very top echelons of how we save the world, because the world is in pretty frightful state. All in all, it's a beautiful place. All I have to do is go outside, see the greenery, the sunshine, the beautiful blue skies. You want to screw that all up? That's what talking at each other leads to. It's all about a conversation. And people are not having conversations. They're not getting to the root of what our problems are. I'm going to a conference in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Thursday and Friday this week. I'll do the program from there. And part of the message in this conference is getting people who are in business to talk to each other. Mm. How do you make business? How do you make love? Do you talk at someone? Nobody's going to love you if you talk at them. If you talk to them and with them, they will. But
unless you're George Clooney.
Right.
Then just talk away. Right. Whatever.
So anyway, not to belabor the point, but I think that that's part of what we're dealing with here. And I got to that from microbes.
I know. I was wondering about that. It was quite the stretch.
Yeah, well, but it is. It's all about life, isn't it? Think about living. Let's think about life. Remember that old song? Maybe not.
Yep.
But the reason I went from microbes to there is because we're looking at Mars as a way of finding a home to escape from because we're screwing this place up. Why don't we fix this place so we don't have to go to Mars? Right? I mean, isn't that really what all of this exercise, all of this research is done because of one thing, whether you say it or you don't say it, we know we're screwing up the Earth. And sooner or later, Mother Nature is going to have a lot of gas and she's going to eliminate the problem, and it'll start over again. This planet's been around for billions of years. We've been around for hundreds of thousands of years, and look at what we have to show for it. A mess. You think Mother Nature's going to let us ruin this planet? Nah. Sooner or later, it's either going to get fixed by thoughtful people, and there are a lot of people who are now working toward that end. Lots of people understand what a mess we have made of this planet. And the first thing that needs to be done is to stop having so many people live on the planet, because that's the surest way to deplete the oceans, the water, the food resources, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not happening. There's no educated real leadership there. We are all about doing business with India. Take a look around. That's the way the world's going to look. What goes on in India is the way the rest of the world's going to look in 150 years if we don't curb population growth. It'll look just like everything in India looks horrible. But back to going to Mars. Okay. Oh, isn't this great? Great research. Good for science. No, that's not why they're doing this. They're doing that because they know that some people will pay to get off the planet and go up to Mars. The guy who runs Tesla Motors he's introducing a new car, by the way, today. Did you see that? Model X.
That sounds kind of cool, doesn't
new
it?
New sport utility vehicle. Yeah.
Do they still have the trunk in the front with the SUV?
Yep. Well, I don't know. The trunk is in the front of the trunk's in the front and the back on the Tesla. Lots of storage space. The regular model, but Model X. So there's the guy who's got all kinds of money. He'd be first on the spaceship out of here to go to Mars. He's paying for a lot of this stuff on his own because he's got the dough. Michael Bloomberg, you were talking about him maybe running for the presidency. He's funding some of this stuff on the side. There are a lot of people who are from that ilk that are funding very privately research into getting out of here. And if you don't believe it, look around. They see what's happening. They know that we can't continue on the road we're on. So what do? You fix it or you leave. That's what people in their patterns of life here on this planet. If we don't like a place we live, we go somewhere else, right? We mess up one town.
And just take off to the next.
Go to the next one and mess it up. Yeah.
Get in our Tesla X and go.
Right.
But how do we know that somebody hadn't already messed up Mars
long
time ago and that's what's left?
That's where they're going.
Maybe, but you know what? Kenny, life just is a cycle. It goes back. What goes around comes around. That's what happened on this. Look at how many species have survived on this planet and how many have gone away. We're just one of those species. So to think that we're going to last forever here, that's foolishness. I'm just trying to slow it down a little bit, it would seem, at least for another 30, 40 years. It's 18 after on Good Day.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Heisman finalist obliterated the college record books in 1990, throwing for 5,100 yards and 54 touchdowns, more than his entire NFL career. So where is David Klinger now? David's pro career had few highlights, but it helped lead him to his life's path. During his NFL days, David was encouraged by his Bible class teacher to pursue a career in religious studies. David earned his PhD in Old Testament studies from the Dallas Theological Seminary, and in 2010 was named the director of its Houston campus.
Klinger zings it in the end zone, caught for the touchdown.
David Klinger, from play caller to true calling. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. New tests conducted by the Environmental Working Group's Shopper's Guide to Pesticides lists sweet bell peppers at the top of the list of vegetables found with the most pesticide residue. A single pepper off the average grocery store produce shelf contained 11 different pesticides. Celery comes in at number 2 with the highest percentage of pesticides. Get this, 94.1%. The third is kale, where 53% of kales tested had multiple pesticides, with 10 different pesticides on one sample alone. And lettuce, number 4, with 9 different pesticides found on a single lettuce sample, with 57 different pesticides found overall. And finally, number 5, carrots, the first vegetable that grows underground to have a high pesticide load. 82% of carrot samples had pesticide residue on them, with 40 different ones in toto.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you know that your child's cell phone has become a valuable educational tool? It seems that cell phones are the new way to cheat. Here's the social science of it. 26% of students store info on their phones and look at it while taking a test. 25% send text messages asking for answers. Get this one. 17% take pictures of the test. 20% use their phones to search for internet answers. And 48% warn friends about a pop quiz. And the new trend, 25% of all students say cheating is the same as I'm just helping out a friend. What's the cheap psych trick? Before you say, my kid doesn't cheat. 52%. One out of every two teens admit to cheating. Educators cannot stop this new trend alone. Parents, it is time for a chat with your kid. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.